His goodness.
Come on, testify.
Testify.
If God's been good to you,
tell Him His goodness.
You ought to testify.
Testify.
Can I get a witness?
Tell Him His goodness.
Get up.
Get up. Testify.
Somebody shout glory.
Tell Him His goodness.
Get up.
Everybody, welcome to a new episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. It's Austin here with you on this wonderful Sunday evening or whatever day it is that you're listening. So glad you could be here. I am joined by my true compadres. Ooh, we got to make that plural tonight. The true compadres. We don't just have one amigo here. We have amigo and senorita. Sorry, and they're making me laugh. But we are so glad that you are here. A lot of good things happening in the Unscripted Pulpit world. A little bit of housekeeping, as always. Remember our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. The one and only Sister Sarah Cadell has put out a brand new Pen and Praise. You can check that out. Go to our website. Up at the top, you'll see all the tabs. Go to the Pen and Praise tab. Scroll down just a little bit and you'll see it. They're in order chronologically. Of course, check out everything on our website. Since we recorded last, God has blessed us in a very mighty way. We are now on all the major platforms. iHeartRadio, Pandora, YouTube, of course, our Facebook, all of our different places. The two major ones that we are so proud of is we are now on Apple Podcast and on Amazon. So I figured this out. You can now look at your Alexa and say, "Hey, Alexa, play the Unscripted Pulpit," and guess what you're going to hear? You're going to hear us. Now, to me, that is just phenomenally awesome. We also work on Google products. You can say, "Hey, Google, play the Unscripted Pulpit on the iHeartRadio podcast or on Spotify or Pandora," and we're going to pop off and start playing. So more of a greater way for us to be able to share God's message. I think I might have mentioned this to Sarah this morning. I don't know if I told Jeremiah, but as of current day, right now, we are pleased to be able to say we have had over 5,000 consecutive listens, meaning episodes start to finish have been listened to on 12 episodes that we put out.
Wow.
So, super blessed for that. That's kind of unheard of in, you know, with what we are doing here in the aspect of there's a lot of buildup for this. But we have got just the start of our ministry going here, and there is so much more to expect. Now, some of you may have heard we were supposed to have a special guest this evening. Unfortunately, our special guest was not able to show up this evening, but they have rescheduled. So we are looking forward to that. We'll keep you updated on that. Our Facebook is currently up to 80, 85 followers. We're still doing a drawing. As of today, August. I wish it was still August. October 12th. We still have our Facebook drawing up. The first 100 followers will be entered into a raffle for a $100 Visa gift card. Those of you that are out of town, not in the area, whatever, we can mail those to you. But that'll help us get our stuff up a little bit more, get a little bit more of a following through social media. That way we can do some more stuff. Me and Sarah was sitting here talking a little bit ago. The more followers we get, we have some big plans, everything from selling some merchandise to even the three of us, we do a phenomenal job singing together, or at least that's my opinion. And you might not like it, but we're looking at the option of putting together a CD or an album, as they call it.
Yes.
We'll be have it on our website. So we are looking at the possibility of having some merchandise on our website. Again, just going to get those followers up. But I think we are on the road to success,
yes,
and we are so, so blessed, more than we could ever imagine. I'm not trying to be prideful or boastful, but I was talking to a gentleman who had started a podcast up, pretty much just his little soapbox. He could get on there and say and do what he wanted to do. And he has had no success in the aspect of getting the approval, the licensing, and all the other stuff. But we are so undeniably blessed,
yes,
for what he has done for us. That just makes me feel better to know that we are doing something in God's will. Back to our website, our news and press release. We have changed that tab just a little bit. There's now a QR code. Scan that with your phone. Fill it out. That is our guest contract. You can fill that out and become a guest. Join us on the show. There is a 72-hour turnaround period on that because of it being a legal binding document technically. So we don't get those. So for some reason, we don't see it immediately and don't reach out within 7 to 10 business days. Reach out to us so that we can go in and get a hold of that. Of course, Pen and Praise, we all know about that. That's Sister Sarah's ministry there. She does a phenomenal job with. We are slowly rising up in the ranks of devotionals in that. You also see the Meet Your Host tab. You can check out, see who we are. Cadell Publishing, and we talk about this all the time, but we keep bringing it up because we want to make sure that everybody knows Brother Jeremiah wrote a phenomenal book that is available for purchase. You can find that under Cadell Publishing. The Contact Us tab, anytime we are recording, you'll find on our Facebook page that we have a live call-in number. You can call in to the recording while we're recording. We'd love to talk with you. Just a lot of different things we can do. All of our contact information is on there, though. And then also the We Will Save You a Seat tab. That is information about our church. Anybody that knows us knows we love, love, love our church. We are so blessed to have a phenomenal pastor and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We love our church, and there's always room. We will make room if we have to. But like I said, check us out on our website. Of course, all of our Facebooks and different stuff. But I think that's enough for me. I'm going to turn it over to the Bishop, a.k.a. Sarah Cadell. We call her the Bishop because she gives us our structure. Let her tell a little bit of what's on her mind, maybe, and then she can give it over to Brother Jeremiah and let him have at it. So, Sarah, pick her up, knock her off, and take flight with her.
All right. It's good to be here with you guys. I really wasn't planning on saying much. I just wanted to come and listen to the guys. But
you know that ain't never nice. If you want me here, you're involved.
But I'm just reflecting on the church service that we had this morning. It was so, so needful. And if you're anything like me, sometimes we get so drowned out, you know, with the cares of life. I went into church this morning feeling defeated and maybe just burdened down. And it was a fight to even get there. Has anybody ever been there before? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But, you know, I just began praying and praising, really. You know, we need to offer up our praises to let God know that that's a sacrifice to Him, is our praise. But when I started to lift my hands, I felt the weight leave, really. And I asked the Lord, you know, I just need a refreshing. I just, you know, we've been on fall break and it's been wonderful, but headed back to work tomorrow. And, you know, there's so much pressure. But I'm placed, you know, where God wants me to be. But if you're somebody that, you know, needs a refreshing from the Lord, a refreshing spirit, you know, you're just feeling bogged down from the things of life, He has that for you. And all you have to do is just ask him, whether you're staying worried or you're fearful, because there's a lot of things going on in today's world. There's a lot of activity that we could, just hide in a closet, but that's not God's will for us. I just really, what's been on my mind when Austin said, "What's on your mind?" is just how the Lord gave me a refreshing spirit. He refreshed my zeal to be in the house of the Lord. Sometimes I don't have a great zeal. And I'm just going to be honest, sometimes I just would just rather stay at home. Probably nobody else does that but me, if I'm being honest. But I needed a refreshing today, refreshing moment with the Lord, and He gave me that. He came through for me. And the pastor asked us, "Who feels better now?" At the end of the service, than when they came in, and everybody's hand went up. But I really feel like, that I could testify to that as well. But that's really all that I have to say. But if you're in a place of in a dark place in life and you really don't know where to turn, I just urge you to turn to Jesus. He has the answer for all that you need. Anything that you have, anything that you're facing, He is the answer. And there is power in His name. That's all I have to say, Jeremiah.
Well, thank you. I just, like Sarah, I think we've all been in that spot sometimes where we feel burdened down by everything that's going on in our lives. And it's easy to get in that spot where you just feel broken down and just don't know what to do. And, God has a way of restoring us in a way that makes us excited to talk about, to be in the house of the Lord and to be together. And he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be also. And a lot of times we'll me often talk before we'll sing songs out of a Redback hymnal. And when we were kids singing them songs, we just thought they were just songs that people just got up and sang. But then whenever we started to grow in the Lord, we started realizing that them long years ago, went out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. We start realizing that those songs had meaning. Those songs spoke to us at a time whenever we needed something to speak out to us, because we felt like we were all alone in this world, or all alone in the problems that we were facing. But there was another person that was fighting the same battle. Tonight I do have a little bit I'd like to read. But before I start, I would like to open out in prayer, because I feel, a lot of times when you're preaching or you're doing the will of God, the different things, I don't want to do anything for me. I don't ever want to do anything in God for me. It's not for me. It's to see another person get closer, grow a closer connection with Christ, or have a better relationship with Christ. And I'd like to open up this the Before I actually talk about what I wanted to, or preach about what I wanted to preach about tonight, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just ask you that you give me the words to say, to speak to someone listening to this podcast tonight, tomorrow, or next week, God. You know the battles that they're facing. You know the hills and the mountains that they're climbing. You know their situation, Lord. I just ask that you anoint me in a way that I might reach that person or people, or whomever or whatever they're going through, God. Whether you're just starting out or whether you've been a Christian for a long time, there's always going to be a battle that we're facing that sometimes we don't know what to do or where to turn, God. But I just ask that you anoint me in a mighty way so that I can be a vessel, a willing vessel, for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, tonight, this has been on my mind for a little bit, and the wagons keeps getting circled back to this particular set of scriptures, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 47, 1 through 12 is where I'll be reading. And I'm going to go ahead and start with 47 and 1. And it said, "Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And again, this is Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 through 12. Verse 2 says, "Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, the water were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." Verse 6 says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass in verse 9, that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, and on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." So we just read a bunch of verses there. And what spoke to me out of this was that these waters were flowing out of the sanctuary. And I feel like sometimes in this walk, we tend to forget where our purpose comes from, where our fruit comes from. And this river that he's talking about brings life to the land. It restores it. It gives it fruit. It renews. You know, one time during service one night at Corbin Gospel, there was a lady who stood up and she was talking about how she was building her sanctuary, and she was her spiritual sanctuary with the Lord, and that she was praying and praying and asking God to show her how that sanctuary needed to be built. And with that sanctuary, you need a river flowing in that sanctuary. That river is going to restore things in you. It's going to provide you with the sustenance to make it through everything that you're going to face. In verse 3, it says, "And when the man that had the line in his head went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles." He was ankle deep in the water. That was the minimum. Ankle deep is the minimum that God requires of you. He's not asking you to get all the way unsubmerged to where you can barely breathe. He just wants you to stick your ankle in and trust him that he's going to be the one to deliver you out of it, deliver you out of each and everything that you come to face. And now, whenever he got to the ankle, he was led a little deeper in the water. And in verse 4, it says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. See, he didn't force him to the knees automatically. He got him a little used to the water. He got him a little used to it. And when he got a little used to it, then he brought him forth a little bit more. Now, I know Sarah's looking at me, and she's just ready to bust. She's getting fired up over here. She's just like, you're missing it. You're missing it, Jerry.
No, I just have something to say.
But I know she's got something to say, so I'm going to turn it over to her for a second because we are we have church sometimes, and we'll be driving down the road, and I'll say something, or she'll say something, and, buddy, I just feel like shouting and running across the jumping out of the car and running and catching up with the car. But I'll let Sarah finish this thought. Go ahead. No, you're fine. You're fine. I can sight see you.
She says she don't have much to say, but she gets giddy. So thanks to the Holy Spirit, we get Sarah tonight.
Well, when Jeremiah was speaking about, you know, he doesn't just submerge you. You know, he's God. He is a gentleman. He's a perfect gentleman. He will take care of you. And that brought a thought to my mind. You know, when you get saved, you don't have to clean, you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to do that. It's him. Let him catch you. You know, the old saying is, you know, what is it, Jeremiah? They'll catch you, but God will do the cleaning or something.
That's right.
So that just reminds me of, you don't have to do anything special. You don't have to wear something to be, you know, loved by God. You are loved by him. You know, you may just be ankle deep. You may just be starting out. You know, you may have just gotten saved, and that's okay. You're not expected to know all of the Bible verses. You're not expected to, you know, be able to recite verses without, but he just wants, you know, he just wants you. That's really all that he wants. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Well, that kind of covers with the last episode that I recorded when you all had a family function to go to on Nehemiah.
Oh, yes.
Nehemiah didn't survey the damage and rebuild the wall. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, the very first thing he did was he got down and he sought the Lord's face.
Yes.
And he asked for forgiveness for the Israel people. Then he went and he surveyed the damage.
Right.
Then he started rebuilding.
Yes.
And the best part about it, and I think it's something that ought to be, you know, surveyed here. The Lord will take you in the water, but he's going to have people standing all around you.
Yes.
That's not going to let you drown. Because now, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, we're the unscripted, unbiased opinion of the pulpit that we have here is the fact that sometimes being a Christian to a person that has lived in this world of sin and filth, it's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Something today, and that's something that a lot of Christians don't comprehend. That yes, our church, our aisle at our church is 137 feet from the last pew to the altar, the mourner's bench, whatever terminology you want to use. But that 137 feet is like standing in a bank with a robber holding a gun to your face, getting ready to rob you of every penny you've got. It is a very scary situation to someone who has lived their life in a total manner.
Yes.
And just the same as Nehemiah, when he looked back and he surveyed the damage after he had asked for forgiveness, he looked up and down miles and miles of the walls around Jerusalem, and the high priests were there helping rebuild the walls. Sorry, I didn't mean to railroad that, but drawing it back from another episode. And what's funny is Jeremiah and Sarah did not know that I covered that in one of the episodes. So, I mean, a perfect tie together right here, y'all.
Yes. I'll say this one thing, Jeremiah.
No, you're fine. You're fine. This is unscripted for a reason.
But I feel like so many times, you know, given my background, I was raised in a very strict holiness church. And a lot of those people believed that when you get saved, you're the whole package. But he has mercy on you. He teaches you things along the way. You're not saved and then you're automatically just, okay, I'm a Christian. You know, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to fall, and it's okay. And it's okay. And you're going to go to hell. You know, he'll have mercy on you, but you have to ask him. You know, we have that advocate.
We have an advocate with the Father.
But that reminds me of a story that I heard. When I was younger, this lady, you know, the old saints, they sometimes they're a little hardcore, but this girl had gotten saved, and you know, after service, I guess there was an older sister that came up to her and was, you know, and told her, you know, you got to get rid of those pants. You can't wear those pants anymore. And you know, that hurt her so bad. And I don't even know if she came back to church after that, because, you know, that's, to me, that's a personal conviction. But, you know, God is not going to tell you things that you're not ready for. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
He is a perfect gentleman, and he will take you deeper into the water. He's not just going to submerge you and drown you. He's a perfect gentleman, and he will teach you. And when you want to be taught by him, you know, when you are desiring to be fed of the word, he will, and no doubt, he will feed you. I've never opened my Bible and him not teach me something.
Right.
So as if you're a new Christian, you may just be ankle deep in that water, like Jeremiah is saying. And, you know, I may be up to my knees and Jeremiah may be up to his shoulders. We're all at different levels.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that any person is better. You know, we're all at different stages, and the Lord loves us at whatever stage that we're at.
Yeah. That draws the story of the guy in the Bible. There was an old drunk in the Bible.
Yes.
Just a mean, rotten individual. And the Lord looked at him and saved him, for lack of a better term. And y'all Google this, look it up, read it for yourself. We say that all the time. Don't
yes.
take our word for it. But the moment the Lord spoke to that man, he became a preacher.
That's right.
That's Bible. But then you got, I think it was, and I might be wrong on the name here, I'm going off memory here, Mary Magdalene. The Lord touched her. And she didn't excel in her ministry until later on down the years of her life. But she was there when Jesus died on the cross. And she was, if I'm quoting on this, I'm wrong, she was one of the first ones to go to the tomb.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So Jesus may touch this one and make them a preacher this day, this hour. May make them a singer, a Sunday school teacher. He may touch this one and it may take 10 years. But there's a season for it.
Yes.
So you just because you're only ankle deep don't mean you're not drowning in God's Spirit.
Oh yes.
No. I feel like there's different levels to it, because, you know, I have been part of, you know, another association that was much stricter than what I grew up, and you know, I felt like I was just toting. And a lot of it because, you know, I had this calling on my life, and this Holy Spirit, you know, guided me, you know, different places and different things. And, you know, I felt like at a lot of times that I was just toe deep in these meetings that we would have, because everybody else would be running around shouting. And, you know, God would just say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Just keep praying, keep the path, keep following after it. And I can't remember who it was that brought this sanctuary. She said it exactly, sanctuary. But she was, in my mind, she was ankle deep, and she was wanting to get deeper. And she just wanted the church to pray for her. And, you know, for a lot of people, that is a hard thing to ask for, you know, between you and God. Mm-hmm. But to also to open that up to others, too, to be like, hey, you know, I have this relationship, but I want a stronger one. Having the courage to say, hey, maybe it's not just me. Maybe I need other people backing me up, praying for this, because, you know, sometimes that's what we need to go a little further. We need that confidence boost from others to be like, yes, we want you to get deeper. We want you to grow stronger. We want you to be able to do what God's called you to do. You know, we stand behind you, and If I could offer up any advice to anyone that was struggling with this issue or another issue, something similar to this, I would say that if you didn't have people backing you up with your walk in Christ, then you probably need to change the people that you're asking to back you up. Because my relationship with Christ is the most important relationship in my life. It's the most important relationship in my wife's life. It's the most important relationship in Austin's life. Because we know that we don't grow unless we're getting water from heaven. We don't grow. Our trees don't bear fruit unless it's from Him. I think that has a lot to do with a lot of the issues that we're running into today, where people, you know, they're, I've talked to people before and, you know, they say, well, I used to go to church and I used to do this and I used to do that. And I used to drive the church bus, but I don't do that anymore because someone said this to me or they said that to me. And, you know, you're going to have that in your walk. You're going to have people that are not in your corner, that are, you know, not looking out for your best interest. But if you find yourself, you know, struggling and you're reaching out and you're not getting the support that you need, that's when you need to be praying to God to send you people to your life, in your life, that'll be able to help direct you. Because, you know, none of us are perfect. We didn't get saved. Like Sarah said, we didn't get saved and be able to recite the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and know each and every scripture. There are people that can do that. I know of many, many different preachers that can get up and preach up a storm and know exactly what the verse says, how, what the definition, what the connotation to the verse is. And, you know, I can study, Sarah can study, Austin can study, we can read song lyrics till we're blue in the face. But, you know, there's going to be times when we get up to sing that we forget what we're doing. We get a little distracted. That's our human nature. That's the nature of, you know, being a Christian. You're not going to have everything figured out. And, you know, I circled this verse about a month or so ago. I don't know. I was reading and it just stuck out to me. But it's still in that same chapter. It's the last verse of that little passage of scripture that I was reading. And it says, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, so on the left and on the right, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. Because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. It came from the sanctuary. The rivers flowed in from there, and the trees were able to bring forth new fruit because it was coming from God. You can't grow fruit on a tree that the river doesn't come from God.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to say it because we've said it before. The fruit that you grow on your tree is not meant for you. An apple tree don't put out an apple because it needs the apple to survive. The apple tree puts out an apple so that me and you walking past can pluck that apple from that tree. There's going to be things in your life that you don't understand, that you don't get, that you don't like. But the Lord's got a reason for what that God's got a reason.
Yes.
Because that apple that the Lord is grooming your tree for and pruning that tree for.
The pruning process.
The pruning process. That's where I was getting right ahead, kind of lightly. I want to tread on soft waters here. But that pruning process to bring forth that apple may be the reason somebody comes to know Christ.
Oh, yes, it's painful but needful.
It's pain, exactly. It's painful but it's needful, because $1 million does not begin to compare what one soul finding God
absolutely
comes to do.
Right.
You know, we're working on building a new church, and I've heard the pastor say this many times. If we have to spend $5 million to build that church, and we see one soul
saved,
it'll be worth it all.
Yes.
Yes.
Can I say something?
Yes, Sarah. I know you're getting Sarah, video you there. Yes.
Okay, y'all. We're going a little bit of housekeeping. Sarah, you ain't going to ask to say that, and your name is on this company. Just
if I stop here. If you got to interject.
Listen, we interrupt each other. I don't sense that. I'm like, Jared.
Okay. But anyways, when you read in that verse about the water that flows out of the sanctuary, so the water represents the Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
And it's flowing out of the church. And that just to me, that represents how needful it is to be with our brothers and sisters gathered together in unity in a church house, because it gives the tree life. And I am the tree. The Spirit gives me life. You know, every day I need the Spirit to wake up in the morning, to get ready to go to my job, to be on my job. I need the Spirit. But that's what gives me strength. So the waters that flow out of the sanctuary, they are giving the trees, you know, life and to bloom. And really, that's just an analogy that, you know, I'm the tree. I need that water from heaven to be, you know, to even to breathe and to live, you know. That's, I have to have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I like to say Holy Ghost because I'm kind of old-fashioned, but the Holy Spirit will work too. But that's sustenance for me, that I have to have that or I will die.
Yes.
Well, the Bible says man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think that's why it's so needful to be in a church that has the same mindset, because our church has the same mindset. They are the most uplifting people, loving people. Mm-hmm. If you have a need, they're going to get down and pray with you. They've done that today. But the waters that flow out of the sanctuary, that's beautiful.
I mean, the Lord might take you ankle deep.
Oh, yes.
But the church will ground you.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the honest. And I say that, it's funny to say that.
But they're love.
But it is, because the Lord may only let you go ankle deep, but the Lord might let Sarah go neck deep. And Sarah's ministry might be the blessing that your ministry, or that something you're dealing with in your life would need. And Jeremiah, okay, if I call Jeremiah Jeremiah, they're all the same people. I'm going to talk about multiple people. But if you go to our website and look at the very, very first words on our website, and I'm sitting here looking at it, reading it word for word verbatim, it says, Austin and Jeremiah, as young adults, craved a relationship with Christ. As good friends, they have confided in each other as battle buddies and prayer warriors, and approached life one step at a time. And there has been things that I knew the answers to, that I knew what the outcome was going to be, but I could not reach that outcome. But I talked to Jeremiah, Jeremiah offered scripture or prayer or whatever the case may be, and we both obtained a new outcome. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The preacher said it today, worship the Lord and he will bless you.
Yes, he did.
And sometimes Jeremiah's worship is what will cause me to receive my blessing. Mm-hmm.
It all goes hand in hand. You know, The rest of that verse, it shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Now, I love that verse. I love that verse from and to medicine. But that last part, the fruit shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. On any fruit tree that you'll see the fruit and you'll see the leaves. The fruit's for meat. The fruit is what gets you through the week. Mm-hmm. If you think meat and week, because you need your meat on Sunday and you need your meat on Wednesday. And a lot of times you need your meat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because that meat's what guards you, that what keeps you fed spiritually from God to get you through your week. And then a lot of people, sometimes it's their month. If they can go one Sunday a month, then, you know, and they're busy the rest of the time, that's what gets them to the next time they can be in service. And that leaf, they're up for medicine.
I love that.
The leaf being for medicine. You know, I have talked about medicine before, not briefly, but the best thing that I can use as an example of that would be we've all as kids been on a bicycle or a scooter or, you know, running around, and we fall and we skin our knee, and we go in the house and we get that Neosporin out, and that Neosporin works wonders. That leaf is like that Neosporin. That's Neosporin from heaven, because sometimes you'll be battling the devil and fighting tooth and nail, trying to climb out of whatever bush you're fighting in, and you're getting cut left and right, and you're blushing and you're gushing the blood. Like if you've ever fallen off a bicycle onto the pavement is not your friend.
Pavement and flesh do not mix.
They do not mix. And that when that blood starts coming out, and you're just like, oh crap, you know, you get that Neosporin out, but that leaf that's growing on that's your tree, that God's given you that fruit from the Holy Ghost, that giving you the spirit, the ability to speak in tongues, the ability to reach out and pray for your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your pastor. That fruit is what helps you be able to do those things, because you can't do that by yourself. Right. You can't heal yourself. You can try to. There's probably a million different medications on the market right now that they say can lower your blood pressure, that can fix your diabetes, that can do all this stuff. But God has given you your fruit. He's also given you leaves, and that's your medicine. That's what can repair you. That's what can fix you. That's what can fortify you. And, you know, That verse has just got me tore up. It's had me tore up, because, you know, it's so easy to get so burdened down by everything that's going on. And to be engulfed in the spirit, not just ankle deep or knee deep or
submerged
in it. To where your even thoughts of holiness are just, you're just submerged in it. And to have that kind of love, like I say that because, you know, I love my wife and I love Austin, but there's a different love there. I love my wife because God has given me the spirit of love for her in a way that I never thought was possible. I love Austin because I have that brotherly love for him, because I do want to see him go above and beyond where I've made it to. I want him to go further than I have, just go over and check and see what's going on, because he's got a little more gumption. He's got a little more attitude towards progress. He's got a little more can do spirit about it. If you know Austin like I do, and me and Sarah do, we know that Austin can step onto a situation and he snaps right into Ooh. Motion. He that's what he's good at. That's what he can do. And you know, whenever this whole podcast thing came about, he took note. He stood on business and he took care of it. I can have that brotherly love for him because he has the ability to step onto the scene and action. He's like that actor on the TV. He just jumps right into it.
He's a go-getter.
Sarah.
We don't have to put a garage door in here to get my ego out.
I said, Sarah, I have that love for Sarah because Sarah has a way of getting into the spirit before church. Now, a lot of you all don't see it. Austin doesn't see it. The church house doesn't see it. Jerome doesn't see it. But before she goes to church, folks, she gets in the mindset of God. She gets in that holy worship. She will pray till she cries, and she will soak the couch with her tears because she wants to be a willing vessel for the Lord. Now, not only do I have a love for her as my wife, but I also have a love for her as my sister in Christ, because, you know, this doesn't just happen. We don't just go to church and have church. We go to church and have church because people have planned. They have opened the floodgates from the sanctuary to the trees because they've set forth that willingness to abound in God. She wants to abound herself in God, because if she can abound herself, and that may not be the right word, because I know Sarah just kind of gave me a weird look when I use that word, but because she's the teacher. I'm not the teacher. I'm the preacher.
You're doing good.
But she wants to abound herself in the Lord, and the only way she can do that is by putting herself down on her knees praying to God for a miracle, for a transformation in the service. And when she starts to do that, when you see her in church, she's getting in, she's shouting, she's praising the Lord, she's playing that piano better than the last time she played it. She'll look me in the eye and she'll tell me, I can't play the piano, only for what I can sing. But I have seen her in action to where she's just been wearing it out. And it's not her doing it. It's the Lord doing it. But back to where I was talking about, you know, that fruit that you're growing on your tree, folks, that's not for you. That's for Austin.
Yes.
Whenever he's having a bad week, or Sarah, whenever she comes home from school and she's just so burdened down and so beat up, and she's got scrapes all over her arms and her legs, and she's just been cut up left and right, and she just doesn't know how she's going to make it any further. That fruit is for her. That fruit is for him. And whenever I need something from Austin, I need him to talk me down off a ledge because I'm ready to go fight somebody. And I'm not usually like that. But the devil has a way of poking you and prodding you and sticking you and holding your feet over the fire to make you want to be on that ledge. Austin is the one that I call, because I know that he's growing that fruit, because he's been stepping onto the scene, standing on business, taking care of it.
I just have one more thing I want to say. I had never really heard this verse before, but I love that it talks about that the leaves are like a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, physically, we need medicine, but spiritually, a lot of the times we need a medicine. We need a cure for some ailment physically, or we need a remedy. And there's no other remedy that has ever satisfied my soul other than the name of Jesus.
No.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. When I read that last part and I was studying on this, we used to watch a show. It was Longmire, I think it was. And, you know, The Longmire is the sheriff, and they are like really close to an Indian reservation, and the Indians on that reservation are deeply like with any reservation, they are deeply stuck in tradition.
Yes,
and there would always be a medicine man that would carry this pouch around his neck, and that just held medicine in it that he could give to others, and that's what they believed in there. And when I read that verse about the leaf being medicine, that's immediately what I thought of. You know, just carrying it around on your neck, carrying that fruit with you, whenever God gives you, when God starts to produce fruit within you, you're carrying that around with you.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go. It's not just in the church house. It's not just at home at work. You're carrying it around with you, and people are going to know
you. They'll know
you
by your fruits.
They'll know you by your fruits.
Whether they're good, ugly, or...
Yes, they will. They will know you by your fruits.
Because you can bear fruit, and that it won't be sweet.
That's right.
I have tasted very bitter apples before.
Yes.
And I've tasted some very sweet apples before.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, that's what I had for tonight. Austin's over here beaming. He's got we won't be able to get him in the car later.
Say, though, if you're looking for a remedy, if you've been looking for something to fill that hole in your heart, that longing, that desire, It won't be in your next relationship. It won't be in the bottle, the bottom of the bottle. It won't be in the whatever
you look for. Hold on, back up, Sarah. Come back one again. It won't be in the bottom of the bottle. It won't be in the crack pipe. It won't be at the bar.
Yes.
It won't be in the prostitutes and the pornography.
Yes.
Sarah won't say the big fancy words, but I'll go ahead and cut loose and let her fly.
That's right. It won't.
Because it won't be in none of that stuff.
Yes.
I can't
come on now.
To Jesus and orange gel. Because when you got a toothache, sometimes you got that toothache, you get that bottle of orange gel.
Yes.
You squeeze it down in that crack of that tooth. And that pain just subsides real, real nice. Mm-hmm. And there's been times that I've had to use Orajel, and I'm thinking, Lord, that pain's going to come back. That pain's going to come back. But that pain disappears. Mm-hmm. So Jesus and Orajel go hand in hand. I know that sounds funny.
Yes.
But when Jesus steps in on the scene,
mm-hmm.
and you get whether it just dip your toe in the water.
Oh, yes. Glory.
Who was it? The blind man. Jesus said, go wash in the well. Go wash in the pool.
Yes.
He went and washed in the pool. That blindness, that sight come back.
Yeah.
He may have had to do it a couple times. He may have had to do it a couple times. But he's a seeing man now.
That's right.
I think the spirit of willingness.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. I believe Nancy and Kitty said that more times than I can. A lot of you that are listening that probably don't know our church, we do have a lady that attends, and her name is Nancy. I love Nancy to death. If there was ever a woman that was growing fruit on her tree, it'd be that woman.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, we're not perfect people. But I always thought a lot. I still do think a lot of Nancy because she has that spirit of willingness. Not only is she growing fruit on her tree, but she also has that spirit of willingness to get up and walk around for God.
We could do a whole episode on that.
We could do a whole episode on Nancy by herself because there have been so many times where. And, you know, you'll listen to us and you'll think, well, man, they're just rock stars in Jesus. Well, a lot of times we don't feel like we're rock stars. It feels like sometimes that we're just barely scraping the bottom.
I am the worst Christian that ever was.
No.
I will hold that to the fire. I'm the worst Christian that ever was.
Whatever.
Because I'm not one. My worship is to sit quietly and cry.
And that's okay.
Sarah could be up singing a banger of a song. And the church on fire, the spirit's so thick you couldn't even get through it. But I just sit back and cry.
It's basking in it. And that's all right.
And I am the type of person, and y'all, I'm 100% honest with you. My mouth writes checks that my rear end can cash all the time. And my unbridled tongue gets me in trouble. My thoughts get me in trouble. There are things that I do on a daily basis that do not represent Christ. I'll be 100% honest with you. But we are all flesh.
Yep.
We are all nothing but poor, grimy, nasty sinners. And no matter how hard we try,
mm-hmm.
that's all we'll ever be.
That's right.
But that's what the mercy of the Lord is for.
And our righteousness is as filthy rags.
And you know something? You know, there was a preacher not too long ago that I was listening to, and Sarah might have been listening to him too. I don't remember. That's a lot of times. That's what we're doing. We're listening to different ones, you know, because, you know, you learn something. You learn something you might not have known before. And we were listening to this preacher talk, and he was talking about this slow flesh of ours. And he was like, have you ever actually sat back and thought as to why it's so hard to keep everything straight as a Christian? And he was talking about how this flesh, how it's so easy to dip that toe right back into the sin. And the reason, you know, his reasoning behind it was that this flesh wasn't going to inherit the
right.
kingdom of God. It's not going any further than this earth. When we die, this body's getting left behind. And this spirit is going one or two places. It's going heaven or hell.
Yep.
And what is it you say, Austin?
He says a lot of
things. You say there's a hell to gain.
And a hell to shun.
There's a hell to gain and a hell to shun.
That's right, folks. And if you are not saved, I highly encourage you to find yourselves a Bible, to start reading the Bible. If you are struggling in your walk and you are having difficulty making it through the day, the week, the month, the year, I ask that you go to our website. You find our contact us or our QR code, as Austin has transformed it, stepped on business. He's got it took care of. You scan that QR code with your phone, you fill it out, you get in contact with us. We do have a phone number on there as well. The phone number is 1-859-412-2187. We are local, but that is the number that they did give us. We do have an email. The phone number we get a notification whenever there is a phone call coming in or if there's a text message on there. If you want to reach out, you want to talk with us, you want us to pray with you, we will do it.
That phone number is now, if you look at our website, it says all calls and emails are recorded for safety purposes. Phone and emails are checked regularly, but not daily. That phone number, the 859-412-2187, rings directly to an active phone that can easily be answered. I see the live calls as soon as they ring in. The reason we have that they are checked but not regularly, is simply because of our full-time jobs. We're not always able to answer the phone, so we don't want people to think that we are constantly doing podcast stuff, because we do have full-time jobs. So that's why they're on there. But now our phone number is regularly monitored. Actually, Enrique with Medicare called the other day while I was laying in bed trying to go to sleep. So it is an active and working number. And primarily we say this, and I think this is where Jeremiah was going. I didn't mean to cut you off there. It does not matter what time of day it is, night, holiday, weekend, weekday. I don't care when it is. If you do not know Christ, it's something we have said or done has been a blessing, and the Spirit has came and knocked at your heart's door, call us. If I'm not available, I will transfer the call to Sarah. I will transfer the call to Jeremiah. I will transfer the call to Pope John, whatever he is, right now if I have to, if it will get you to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. I know that sounds funny to say, but in all reality, we will find you somebody. If the three of us aren't available, we will find somebody. We've got people on call for us. That are part of this that you all don't know and will never see or hear from, but we have means of getting you the information and the help you need. That phone number can also receive text. Got a prayer request?
Yes.
We would love,
yeah,
and I'm working on this. It's just taking a little bit of time. We're going to have a prayer request phone line. We're going to have a digital inbox where you can send your prayer requests, and we will call and seek the Lord's face for you on your behalf and your family's behalf, because sometimes your prayers don't feel like they touch the ceiling, let alone reach the master's ear. But we know that we have an advocate with the Father who all we have to do is call his name, and it seems like everything gets fixed. So we're working on that, but for right now, with our phone number, our email, you got a prayer request, you want to know more about this man named Jesus?
Oh, yes.
You call us. You email us. Send a smoke signal. Write a letter. I don't care. We will be in contact with you. We're flesh and blood, and we make mistakes, but there is one thing that we won't make a mistake on, and that's showing somebody the love of Christ. Do you have anything, Jerry, to sum up? Sarah, you got anything?
Nope.
Well, y'all, again, we thank you all so much for listening and being with us. As we mentioned in the beginning, check out all of our platforms, our websites, different stuff of that nature. We are so humbly blessed. This is actually one of the first episodes we've had where we've recorded all three of us together with minimal work efforts.
Yeah.
So we're very proud of that. Might push out another episode tonight, so you might get two episodes this week, kind of as our hope and plan, but we are so blessed and so honored. But for what it's worth, we thank you all so much. You don't know what it means to us. And as we come to the close on another episode, I think this makes our 12th or 13th episode, we never in a million years would have thought that this would have amounted to what it is. We never thought that we would be sitting here with the view that we have right now. But the Lord has blessed us, and we are so, so, so thankful for that. But this has been Austin, Jeremiah, and Sarah for the Unscripted Pulpit. We thank you. We are praying for you. If we can ever be of service, reach out to us. We would love to talk with you. And as always, remember to always walk with Jesus.
Testify. 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 Testify